welcome to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministry Kids Program. My name is Kayla Jo. This program is made by and for children and youth. This hour we have Let's Read the Bible, Unlocked, Children's Bible Drama, and Daily Devotional. I hope that we can grow our faith in God as we listen to the program together. You can even invite your friends to listen to this program with you. Now, let's start this week's program. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna King. I'm the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. Do you love God? Most of us would answer yes to this question. But what does it mean to love? You might say that loving someone is when you keep someone in your heart. When we love someone, we always think of that person in our hearts, and we act by connecting everything with that someone. If you answered that you do love God, worded differently, it would mean that you like to keep God in your heart. So let me ask you the same question again. Do you like to keep God in your heart? If we keep God in our hearts, what would happen? We would always think and act in a way that is good, holy, godly, and clean. This is because God is at the center of our hearts. On the other hand, Romans 1 records the events that occur when we do not want to keep God in our hearts. Of the verses in Romans chapter 1, let's read verses 28 through 31. They didn't think it was important to know God, so God let them continue to have evil thoughts. They did things they shouldn't do. They are full of every sin, evil, and ungodliness. They want more than they need. They commit murder. They want what belongs to other people. They fight and cheat. They hate others. They say mean things about other people. They tell lies about them. They hate God. They are rude and proud. They brag. They think of new ways to do evil. They don't obey their parents. They are foolish. They cannot be trusted. They are not loving and kind. God does not force himself into the hearts of those who do not want him. Rather, God lets them go just as they want. Then they do all sorts of evil things. Out of all the listed sins in this passage, don't we often see some of these sins in our lives? Aren't they some of the things that we can even see within ourselves as we envy someone, gossip about someone, slander someone, brag about ourselves, and fall into our own pride? If this is true, what is the reason behind this? According to the book of Romans, the reason is because we do not want to keep God in our hearts. What about you? How can you know that you love God and that you like to keep God in your heart? Is it by just saying that you love God, or is it because it bears good fruit? I hope we can take the time to examine each of ourselves. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to look into ourselves to see whether we truly love you and are happy to live with you in our hearts. Please also give us your grace so that we can have you in our hearts and live to be more like you. In the name of Jesus we pray, Amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Jaina Kim from Arizona will read the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 through 32 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name is Jaina. I'm 12 years old and I live in Arizona. Today I'm going to read Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Let's read the Bible. God shows his anger from heaven. It is against all the godless and evil things people do. They are so evil that they say no to the truth. The truth about God is plain to them. God has made it plain. Ever since the world was created, it has been possible to see the qualities of God that are not seen. I'm talking about his eternal power and about the fact that he is God. Those things can be seen in what he has made. So people have no excuse for what they do. They knew God, but they didn't honor him as God. They didn't thank him. Their thinking became worthless. Their foolish hearts became dark. They claimed to be wise, but they made fools of themselves. They would rather have statues of gods than the glorious God who lives forever. Their statues of gods are made to look like people, birds, animals, and reptiles. So God let them go. He allowed them to do what their sinful hearts wanted to. He let them commit sexual sins. They made one another's bodies impure by what they did. They chose a lie instead of the truth about God. They worshipped and served created things. They didn't worship the Creator, but He is praised forever. Amen. So God let them continue to have their shameful desires. Their women committed sexual acts that were not natural. In the same way, the men turned away from their natural love for women. They burned with sexual desire for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. They suffered in their bodies for all the wrong things they did. They didn't think it was important to know God. So God let them continue to have evil thoughts. They did things that they shouldn't do. They are full of every kind of sin, evil, and ungodliness. They want more than they need. They commit murder. They want what belongs to other people. They fight and cheat. They hate others. They say mean things about other people. They tell lies about them. They hate God. They are rude and proud. They brag. They think of new ways to do evil. They don't obey their parents. They don't understand. They can't be trusted. They are not loving and kind. They know that God's commands are right. They know that those who do evil should die. But they continue to do those very things. They also approve of others who do them. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. Please forgive us of our sins, and please help us to live our life according to your will, not ours. Thank you for letting us see the difference between right and wrong, and forgive us when we make the wrong choice. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Following is a devotional program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be two episodes every week. Here is the first episode.
What storms do you face in your life? how is Jesus helping you through them? Hey there, Andrew here, and you're listening to Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Today, we've got a first-person retelling of one of my personal favorite stories from the Bible. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. It was written by Tara Whipp and is called Shelter in the Storm. The storm was getting more violent by the second. The little boat couldn't handle it. It creaked and groaned. There was no way we could make it. We would sink and all of us would drown, and there was no land near us. Our master was asleep. No normal human being could sleep at a time like this. I mentally said farewells to my family as I tried to keep hold of the rail on the boat and not fall overboard. It was our own fault we were in this boat. We had left behind everything and followed the man named Jesus, and now we would die for it. I saw Philip wake Jesus, and Jesus asked us why we were afraid and told us we had little faith. Why shouldn't we be afraid? We were all terrified, except for him, of course. Jesus stood up, held out his hand, and commanded the storm to stop. We watched him doubtfully, but just as the last word rolled off his lips, there was an immense calm. The wind stopped blowing completely, and the water was still as if nothing had happened at all. We stood there speechless. Who was this man? We all go through storms in our life. Be they little or small, those storms can be any fear or any challenge. Most of us are like the disciples during it all, scared of the change and having little faith. However, with God on our side, we don't need to be afraid because He is our stronghold in the storm. We read that in Psalm 27. If He can make the planets, the universe, and every little thing, I'm pretty sure He is in control. He loves us, and He's working all things for His good kingdom purposes. And one day, when He returns, Jesus, the Creator, will ultimately calm the chaos of this world broken by sin. We can be strong and courageous, as we read in 1 Chronicles 28, because God is our shelter in the storm. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? What storms do you face in your life? How is Jesus helping you through them? Take a look at Hebrews 13, verse 6. How can the truths in this verse help you in the midst of storms? As you and I can read in Isaiah 41, verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3, Isaiah 25, especially verses 4 and 5, as well as Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, the account of Jesus being asleep in the storm to help keep God's Word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries, and it's listener-supported. Just $5 a month goes a long way to help us keep Unlocked going strong into the future. And if you'd like to donate, you can do so by checking out unlocked.org or the Giving tab in the Unlocked app. Now, be sure to check back tomorrow because Emily is going to tell us about the triumphal entry. But until then, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Here's the second episode of Unlocked.
What are some things you're tempted to turn to in times of trouble? Hey there, I'm Emily, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Who doesn't love feeling safe, am I right? And where is the only place we can truly be safe? It's what our story is about today. It's called God is Our Refuge, and it was written by E. Marie. Safe place, shelter, haven, refuge. These are some words we use to describe a place we go to in the middle of a storm or something else that disrupts the safety we have around us. You've probably had a tornado drill at school where your whole class takes cover by crowding into a space with no windows. Or perhaps you've had a fire drill where you go outside and find safety by distancing yourself from the building. Maybe you remember taking shelter indoors when there was a severe thunderstorm. But where do you go during life's storms? Where do you turn to when your best friend decides she doesn't want to hang out with you anymore? Or when you're injured during a game and have to sit out the rest of the season? What happens when your grandpa has a heart attack? What about when your mom is diagnosed with cancer? Where do you find refuge then? When you're hit with life's storms, it can be tempting to turn to many things to find refuge. Maybe you turn on the TV or open the pantry to numb the pain. But the Bible tells us that true refuge is found in Jesus. When we look to Him, crying out to Him in the midst of whatever we face, we can experience Him as our refuge. Psalm 62:8 says, O my people, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is our refuge. So let's talk about this. What are some things you're tempted to turn to in times of trouble? Since God is our refuge, how can you begin to pour out your heart to Him when you face life's storms? In Christ, is there anything we can't bring before God? Check out Hebrews 4:14 through 16 and 1 Peter 5:7 to help you answer that question. And lastly, what are some storms you are going through right now? Take some time today to talk with God about them. And do some reading on your own today too. Check out Psalm 46:1, Psalm 62:8, and Proverbs 30 verse 5 to keep God's word alive in your life. Thanks for being here for this episode of Unlocked. If you haven't already, give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Unlocked Devo. We post encouragements, updates, jokes, and more on the daily, so check us out. And that's it for me. Thanks again so much for being here. Until next time, I'm Emily, encouraging you to live your life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Following is the program Children's Bible Drama.
Hello everyone, it's June from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Following God's word, Gideon chose the best 7-year-old bull from his father's cattle. Now as God commanded, Gideon gathered 10 household servants at night and made preparations to tear down his father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole.
Thank you for coming.
I am about to do something very important. I will tear down my father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole. With the wood, I will build an altar at the place God commanded and offer this bull as a burnt offering.
Huh? If you do that, your father Joash will get angry.
Yes, that's right. Not only your father Joash, but if the village people find out that you tore down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole, they will try to kill you.
Of course I understand your concerns. However, God commanded this, so what can I do? Can I disobey God's word because I'm afraid of the people?
Yes. If commanded, then you must do it. We understand.
Thank you. Now, act according to what I say.
Along with his 10 servants, Gideon tore down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole.
It seems like we're done. Take the pieces of these idols and follow me.
Gideon took the broken pieces of the idols and set them on fire at the place God commanded. By offering the 7-year-old bull, Gideon put aside the 7 years of humiliation he faced from the Midianites. Gideon placed his past years of shame on the 7-year-old bull and gave that bull as a burnt offering to God.
God, as you commanded, I have removed all the idols from our household and gave a bull as a burnt offering to you. Now please forgive our sins and save us from the hands of the Midianites.
Gideon and the servants completed all of God's commands. They returned home and fell asleep. Now it was the next day. The village people who came early in the morning to worship Baal and Asherah were in shock. Baal's altar was torn down and the Asherah pole was cut down.
What happened? How could this happen to Baal's altar?
Not only that, but the Asherah pole has been cut down to pieces. Who could have done such a terrible thing?
This is really terrible. Baal and Asherah will get angry and bring a great punishment.
Let's hurry and find the one who did this terrible thing and offer him to Baal and Asherah to stop their anger.
The people began to look for the person who tore down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole. They found out that Joash's son Gideon was the one who did it. The people gathered around Joash's house and began to protest.
What is all the commotion so early in the morning?
Joash, do you know what happened? Hurry and bring out your son Gideon! During the night, Gideon tore down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole. If you don't kill Gideon right now, Baal and Asherah will bring a curse upon our city!
What did you say?
Gideon's father Joash was in great shock. Joash served Baal and Asherah and built Baal's altar in the Asherah pole. He couldn't believe that his son tore down Baal's altar and tore down the Asherah pole. Gideon became afraid when he heard the village people's protest.
This is terrible. I tore down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole, which my father cherished. My father will be angry and give me to those people. Now I'm surely dead.
Gideon was worried. What will Gideon's father Joash do to Gideon? I'll see you next time from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Goodbye.
Today, wherever he leads, I'll go. Did you know there are 2.2 billion kids all around the world? Each one of them needs to hear about Jesus, don't you think? You can introduce the Heart and Soul app to your friends so they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and accept Him as their Savior.
Following is the program Daily Devotional provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week we will listen to Monday through Friday's Daily Devotional. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's Daily Devotional.
It was so hard to pull the stumps out. They had tons of roots that held them down to the ground.
Just like those tree stumps, you should be rooted and grounded in your faith. Guess what? You're listening to the one and only Keys for Kids. It's a great way to grow your faith in God. My name is Zach. So did you know that a tree's roots will extend under the ground up to 1.5 times the height of that tree? No wonder trees can stand up so straight for so long. The roots are strong and wide. And that's how you should be as a Christian, too. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 2:7. Have your roots planted deep in Christ. Grow in Him. Get your strength from Him and let Him make you strong in the faith. Our story today is called Roots. As Mateo and Leo helped their dad dig out stumps in an area behind their house, Mateo leaned on his shovel. "Is this stump ready to pull yet?" he asked, looking at the one he was digging around. Dad came over and checked it. "Not quite ready," he said. "Keep digging." "I've got a root ready for you to chop, Dad," called Leo. Dad grabbed the axe and went to Leo's stump. Chips flew as he chopped the root. "This one looks ready to pull," said Dad. He hooked a chain from the truck to the stump. Leo and Mateo cheered as the stump came out easily. Mateo kept digging, and soon Dad came over and chopped the roots he had uncovered. When the stump was finally ready to pull, Dad hooked it up to the truck. This time, the tires spun, but eventually the stump came out. After dinner, Dad opened his Bible and read several verses, emphasizing one phrase, being rooted and grounded in love. Dad looked up. "Does this verse remind you of anything?" Mateo and Leo groaned and rubbed their sore muscles. "It reminds me of all the roots we had to dig up and chop out," said Mateo. "Those stumps were rooted and grounded in the backyard." Dad smiled. "You're right, and this verse talks about having strong roots in love. God is love, so how do we get strong roots in Him?" "Well, we have to know Jesus as our Savior," said Leo. Dad nodded. "Jesus showed us God's love by dying on the cross for our sins, and when we trust in Him, He fills our hearts with His love. What are some of the things we can do to grow in our relationship with Jesus?" "By reading what He has to say to us in the Bible," Mateo suggested, "and by praying." "And how about going to church?" added Leo. "Good," said Dad. "Being rooted in Jesus involves a whole lifestyle of dependence and trust in Him. It was hard to pull the stumps with roots firmly in the ground, and it's hard for Satan to get us to sin or pull us out of fellowship with God when we're firmly rooted and grounded in Jesus." So how about you? Are you growing strong roots in Christ? Do you spend time with Him in prayer? Do you read the Bible to learn more about Him and what He has to say to you? And do you attend church faithfully? As He works in your heart and teaches you to depend on Him, your root system will grow so you can stand strong against Satan, sin, and anything else that tests your faith. Our key verse is Colossians 2, verse 7.
Have your roots planted deep in Christ. Grow in Him. Get your strength from Him. Let Him make you strong in the faith.
And our key thought today, grow strong roots in Christ.
Hey, Zach, who made God?
Hey, Oliver, what a great question. Nobody created God. God has always been. Think of a perfect circle. You can't tell where it starts or where it ends, right? Well, it's the same way with God. God has always existed and He always will. That's what makes Him God. In the book of Revelation, the angels worship God by saying this, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Well, I hope that helps. As always, my name is Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
This is time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
I don't like the city. I wish we still lived in our old neighborhood. Why did God tell Dad to take this new job?
If it was God's will for you to move to this city, then I know He has a good reason. Hi, and welcome to Keys for Kids. My name is Zach, and I'm so glad that you're here listening to me today. Let's get started. When I was 12, my family moved from the city all the way out to the country. It was a big adjustment for me. I missed my friends, I missed the city pool, and riding my bike all over town. If you're having a hard time with something new in your life, remember this: God has a purpose for you exactly where you are, and He wants you to rely on Him, just like it says in Psalm 57:2. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose in me. Our story today is entitled Bloom. Keisha walked closely beside her mom as they made their way to the subway station. She wasn't used to all the noise and crowds. Her family had just moved into the city last week, and Keisha felt sad to be so far from her old house and friends. "Mama, I don't like it here," Keisha pouted. "I wish we still lived in our old neighborhood." Mom took her hand and led her to a less busy side street. "Honey, you've been complaining about how much you dislike this city ever since we moved here. I know moving was hard for all of us, but we prayed and felt God leading your dad to take this new job." Keisha frowned. "I don't understand why God had us move here. Why couldn't Dad get a job somewhere else?" She stared at the sidewalk and noticed a tiny bit of green peeping through a crack. Bending down for a closer look, Keisha saw a small white bud about ready to bloom. "Mom, look, there's a little flower growing out of the sidewalk." "Most people call that a weed," Mom said, grinning. "It must be quite hardy to grow in a place like this. My grandma used to tell us grandkids, bloom where you're planted." "What did she mean by that?" asked Keisha. "She believed that God put people in certain places for a reason. One of my grandma's favorite Bible stories was about Esther, who was taken from her home to live as queen with a king she didn't even know very well. But God used Queen Esther to save the Jewish people from being destroyed in a wicked plot by one of the king's rulers." Mom pointed to the flower in the sidewalk. "Keisha, I don't know exactly why God led us to this city at this time, but I know He has a plan for us here. Just like that little plant can bloom out of a crack in the sidewalk on a busy city street, you can bloom right here in the city by letting Jesus' light shine through you wherever you go. Start looking for ways you can share His love with others. Jesus can use you right here where He's planted you." So how about you? Are you having a hard time with something that's new? Sometimes it's difficult to see God's plan for us in moving to a new neighborhood or a new school or just having a different routine than what we've been used to. But God has a purpose for you right where you're at. Trust Him to show you how to share His love with the people around you and bloom where you're planted. Our key verse is from the book of Esther, chapter 4, 14.
"And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?"
And our key thought for today: bloom where Jesus plants you. My name is Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Here is Wednesday's daily devotional.
"I didn't mean to hurt Katie's feelings. We all tease each other a little bit, but just for fun, not to be mean."
Be careful what you say. Sometimes teasing can really hurt another person's feelings. It's a great day here at Keys for Kids, and I hope that you're doing great. Thanks for listening. My name is Zach. Have you ever noticed that you have two ears but only one mouth? I think it's because God wants you to listen twice as much as you speak. You also have one brain, and that means you need to think before you say something. Even teasing people just for fun can hurt a person's feelings. Psalm 141:3 says this, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." That's exactly what our story is all about today. It's entitled, Guarded Words. Ruby walked out to the backyard where her grandmother was pruning a rose bush. "Hi, Ruby," Grandma said. Seeing Ruby's unhappy face, she asked, "What seems to be the trouble?" Ruby sat down on the grass. "It's Katie. I thought we were best friends, but she hardly even speaks to me now." "Really?" asked Grandma. "Why's that?" "Well, Ashley said Katie's jacket looked funny, and I said I thought so too. We were just teasing." Ruby sighed. "We poke fun at each other. The others say I have a weird way of eating ice cream, and we tease Ashley about her laugh. She sounds just like a donkey. And Katie sometimes dresses goofy. I don't know why she got so upset when we said it this time." "I see." Grandma hesitated and then picked a rose and handed it to Ruby. "Let's see how long it will take you to pull all the petals off of this flower, one by one." She looked at her watch. "Ready? Go." Ruby looked at Grandma curiously but began to tear off the petals as fast as she could. "Good, that didn't take long," said Grandma. "Now let's see how long it takes you to put all the petals back on the stem. Are you ready?" "Gram," Ruby exclaimed, "you know that's impossible." "Yes," said Grandma. "Sometimes it's impossible to undo damage caused by words, too. Remember this rose when you're tempted to be careless with words." Ruby frowned. "But I didn't mean to make Katie feel bad." "No, but you did, didn't you?" Grandma put an arm around Ruby. "Sometimes we hurt others without meaning to. Even though you didn't mean any harm by your comments, Katie was hurt by them. So what do you think you should do about it?" "Apologize, I guess," said Ruby. "Only I'm not sure Katie will listen." "Maybe not, but you can try," said Grandma. "After this, consider words carefully before you speak them. Think about the other person and whether what you say will hurt them. We all make mistakes and say the wrong thing sometimes, but Jesus will forgive us and help us speak uplifting words to others." Grandma squeezed Ruby's shoulder. "Hopefully Katie will forgive you too." Ruby nodded. "I'll call Katie and tell her I'm sorry." So how about you? Do you think before you speak? Words used carelessly can hurt others even if they're not meant to. Sometimes it's okay to joke about what someone says or does, but before you do that, think about whether that person might be hurt by you poking fun at them. The Bible says the tongue is like a fire that can quickly get out of control. Guard it carefully, and if you do say something hurtful, ask for forgiveness. Our key verse is Psalm 141:3.
"Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips."
And our key thought, guard your tongue. I'm Zach. Thanks for tuning in to Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
I didn't want the Book of Missionary Stories at first, but now I feel like I really know the author.
That's what a book will do. And the more you read the Bible, the more you'll know the author, God. Do you like to read books? If you do, you'll love today's story right here on Keys for Kids. Let me ask you, do you have a favorite author? I love reading mystery books, and when Frank Peretti puts out a new book, I buy it right away. I really feel like I know him because of how much I read his books. You know, the Bible is no different. If you want to know more about God and Jesus, the best way to do that is to read the Bible. It has stories of army battles, true love, poetry, and even miracles. In John chapter 5, Jesus said this, "These are the very scriptures that testify about me." Our story today is entitled Aunt Sue's Gift. Joshua eagerly opened the birthday gift his aunt had sent him. "Look," he said, "it's the game I've been wanting." "There's something else in here too," Mom said. pulling a smaller package from the bottom of the box. Joshua tore it open. It's a book of missionary stories. Oh, those should be interesting, said Mom. Aunt Sue works with missionaries and probably thought you'd like to read some of their stories. Joshua shrugged. I like mysteries or sports stories, he muttered, tossing the book on the table. A couple months later, a group of missionaries visited Joshua's church and his parents had some of them over for dinner. Joshua listened attentively as one of them told about his experiences in India. A local pastor and I were on our way to preach in one of the villages, said Mr. Kim. As we were walking, we noticed a leopard following us. We expected it to attack us at any moment, but it never did. To our surprise, it finally just quit following us and left us alone. He smiled. I believe God kept us safe in answer to the prayers of his people back home. He went on to tell of another time God had kept him safe in a dangerous situation. Joshua would have liked to hear more, but the missionaries needed to get to the church for a meeting. Several days later, Joshua idly took a book from the shelf and turned a few pages. He suddenly sat up straight. Mom, he exclaimed, this book from Aunt Sue is written by Mr. Kim. Joshua eagerly started reading the stories. This book is good, said Joshua, putting it down when it was time to go to bed. After reading this, I feel like I know Mr. Kim better. I hope he comes to our church again sometime. You feel like he's a friend, don't you? Said Mom. After you met him, you got to know him better through his book. That's something like our relationship with Jesus, Joshua. He gave us a book that helps us get to know him as a friend. That's the Bible, isn't it? Joshua said. I should read that too and get to know Jesus better. So how about you? Do you sometimes wish you knew Jesus better? You can get to know him through his book, the Bible. It has lots of stories that show us who God is and how much he loves us. As you read the Bible and learn more about it at church, it will help you know Jesus more and more. Get to know Jesus better as a friend by reading his book. Our key verse is John 5:39.
These are the very scriptures that testify about me.
And our key thought today, know Jesus through the Bible. I'm Zach. Thanks for spending time with me today on Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's daily devotional.
Mom's always knitting clothes for someone's baby or baking for another family. I want to help others too.
That's a great way to show God's love to others. Now, how do you think you can help? Welcome to Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. Come on in and get comfortable and we'll get started. When I was in elementary school, I had a good friend named Josh. Now, sometimes Josh didn't have a lot to eat for lunch, so I asked my mom if she could pack some extra food for him in my lunchbox. I could tell he was hungry, and later he told me how much it meant to have someone looking out for him. Do you know someone that you can help? You know, when you do that, you're showing them the love of Jesus. Proverbs 31:20 tells us what to do. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Our story today is called Just Like Tabitha. What are you making, Mom? Madeline asked as she watched her mother's knitting needles move in and out. I'm making a baby sweater for one of the ladies at church, Mom answered. Mrs. Pearson is having a baby next month. It seems like you're always knitting or baking for somebody, Madeline said. Well, I enjoy making things and giving them away, said Mom. I think it's kind of like when you make something special at school and bring it to me. Yeah, but that's a little different, Madeline replied. I mean, you're my mom, but you do a lot of stuff for people you hardly know. Not as much as Tabitha did, Mom said. Tabitha? Asked Madeline. Who's she? Do I know her? The book of Acts in the Bible tells us about her, Mom explained. She was a Christian and did many good things. She knew how to sew, and she devoted much of her time and energy to making clothes for poor people and widows. Tabitha was always helping others. I imagine she was also their friend and listened to their troubles and comforted them. I think I remember hearing about her in church, Madeline said. I wouldn't be surprised, said Mom. When Tabitha died, everyone was sad. Do you recall what happened next? Madeline thought for a moment and then she nodded. I remember that she died, but then she was raised from the dead. That's right, said Mom. God used the Apostle Peter to bring her back to life. When people saw that she had been resurrected by God's power, many of them put their trust in Jesus. When I get older, I'm going to be like you and Tabitha and do things for other people, Madeline said. You don't have to wait that long, said Mom. Even before Tabitha was raised from the dead, God's power was evident in her life in the way she loved and helped others. Since you also trust in Jesus, you have his power in your life too. You can show his love by doing good things for others just like Tabitha. Madeline smiled as she listened to the soft clicking of her mom's knitting needles. Then I'm going to think of some things I can do to help others right now. So what about you? How can you do good for others? You don't need to wait until you're older or have any special skills to help someone. If you know Jesus, you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and that's all you need. He fills you with love for others and helps you do good things that point them to Jesus. So think of something you can do to help someone today. Our key verse is Proverbs 31:20.
She extends her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy.
And our key thought today, help others. I'm Zach. Thanks for tuning in to listener-supported Keys for Kids.
Wasn't that a blast doing the daily devotionals? I hope that this was a time for you to become a lot closer to Jesus. Don't forget to talk to your parents about the story you heard today on Daily Devotional. I'm sure your family will have a great time talking about it together. I hope that you can read the Bible often to learn more about Jesus' teachings, pray to Jesus, and praise Jesus often throughout this whole week. Until then, see you next week. God bless you. Goodbye.